With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
All right, so this is, I guess, considered episode 446.5.
It will be, yes.
For the interview with Chris here of ODR Hockey Heroes, developer behind that. So, Chris, welcome. And I do want to keep the natural conversation that we were having there, keep that going, but I wanted to get that out of the way. So let's talk a little bit about hockey. In your Kickstarter video, you talked about loving hockey, and because you can't play it, you developed a hockey game.
Yeah, pretty much. That's part of it. Yeah, that's definitely part of it. I'm not very good at hockey, that's for damn sure. Although last year, for the first time, I've been collecting goalie gear over the years because, you know, it's expensive as hell. And yeah. So I just finally collected everything and I started playing shinny at a local rink and learning how out of shape I was.
Because all that gear is heavy, isn't it?
It's like you might as well just do burpees for an hour. Like, it's you're down and up and down and up and down and up, and like, right. I was not ready for it. I was just lying there like I died. Like, it was a real eye-opener, but tons of fun for sure.
I bet. So do you have buddies you play with, or?
Yeah, a lot of my friends all love hockey. Where I've been living now, I'm actually across the street from a really great lake, and we play hockey there once it's frozen over, and we scrape it, clean it, keep it maintained and all that kind of stuff. And yeah.
Fantastic. When does that season start for you, for when you start being able to play on that lake?
Being able to play on the ice is usually more into like January kind of time. Okay. Just depends on the year. Sometimes it's sooner, sometimes it's later. Yeah, I actually grew up mostly with like street hockey. That was my main thing. Nice. Playing street hockey was the main thing I did when I was younger. Never really played as a kid hockey on the ice, but yeah, just love it. And I watch hockey every day. I'm really amped that the season's starting. I love it.
Nice. Yeah, it's I'm in Detroit, so I'm a Red Wings fan. So I follow them. I've been following them for all my life here. And then we got a lot of Canadians in our Discord that, you know, love hockey. With a few Americans too, but you know, a lot of Maple Leafs fans and yeah, there you go. So yeah, lots of fans there. Of course, they just hockey overall, they got a lot of fans there. So but we got a lot of fans in there that love the video games too, so which you've also alluded to in a lot of your videos upcoming to this Kickstarter. Like on Twitter, you posted a lot of the events you went to, and you have games sitting there next to it that influenced you on this.
Yeah.
Such as?
The main one was Wayne Gretzky's 3D hockey. I was literally sitting down playing that one day while I was trying to decide on what kind of game I wanted to make in my spare time. And I was like, I can make that. Why don't I make this? Why didn't I even think of making a sports game? It wasn't even like in my potential ideas of what could be made, right. Which kind of goes into where I find the game industry is these days and sort of what my experience has been over the last couple of years trying to pitch this game to publishers and things like that. But Wayne Gretzky's 3D hockey, number one, in terms of just the gameplay, I loved that in the last like 30 seconds of a game, there's like six goals back and forth, just hits, no rules, all that kind of stuff is so sick. And then any of the Mario sports games are huge influences, NHL 94, NHL hits. I actually just played NFL. What is it? Street 2? NFL Street 2 for the first time like a week ago. It's so sick. I can't believe it's such a bummer that those games stopped, because like you toss a bomb, the guy spins around and like throws it under his arm, and then the guy jumps off the wall and catches it one hand. You're like, that is what video games are for, right? Yes. Like, it's all about going crazy and making wild stuff. So
that arcade style of sports, right?
Yeah. Exactly. And like NFL Blitz has got a bit of inspiration in the game too, the way you're able to hit players after whistles and things like that. So yeah, a lot of inspirations from those sort of 3D extreme arcade sports games that I just loved growing up with, kind of thing.
So I didn't get to experience most of that. My favorite NHL game was NHL 94. Because of just the way it was different, it wasn't going side to side, it was going up and down. But when you were talking about those last second hits, there was that, like, after the whistle blows, there's that split second where you can get that one hit into somebody.
Yeah, 100%.
And it was 100%. Always fun.
Yeah, it's so super cool.
That was my, like, I'm not I'll be honest, not a hockey fan at all, not a sports fan. Yeah. But I love arcade-style sports games.
Yeah, so exactly.
NBA Jam was the gateway to that. And then it was NFL Blitz in the arcade. Yep. And then on Sega Dreamcast, it was one of the four games I had on Dreamcast before it shut down.
Ooh, cool. That's so awesome.
But man, we used to stay up. That came out when I was in like my sophomore year or maybe junior year of college. I think it was sophomore year was the Dreamcast. Yeah. And we would stay up like that. That risks so many grades. And that between that and WWF No Mercy back in the day on the 64. What an era
for wrestling games.
Right. Yeah. And then you know, we had I upgraded eventually to a PlayStation 2, and that's where NHL Hits was on. And that was like our we've had a bad day. Awesome. We're going to get in here and we're just going to beat the crap out of people. But really, I think it really started with, and now I forgot about this game until I mentioned that, is it really started with Mutant League Football back on the Sega Genesis.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, there you go.
And that one was like, I had never played anything like that. Never been interested in sports games, except for that Madden game where the ambulance actually drove out on the field ran over people. Like that was the detail I remember. But then like that game, Mutant League Football, I was like, I've got to have this.
That's awesome. I mean, it's like if you compare sports games to any other genre in gaming, it's kind of wild sort of how it's gone and where it could go and things like that. And it's all just kind of got super clean and basic and one or two companies making it these days. And like no one's getting their head exploded or like people getting launched into walls, like catching fire, like none of that awesomeness that is the whole point of video games is to mess with reality a little bit. Right.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, well, let's dive right into your game here. The ODR Hockey Heroes. That is something that sounds like you wanted to build into your game. It's kind of that craziness.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, 100%. It's all about, so the main thing was pick up and play accessibility sort of thing to kind of go into this realm of like people who don't necessarily really, really where that comes from is my friends are getting older. And when we hang out, like, it's just not fair if I've been playing the NHL game, for example, or just video games in general since the last time I saw them till when I see them.
Oh,
and
yeah,
they're not going to be able to pick it up in time for us to have an enjoyable couple games when we have a few minutes kind of thing, right? So that's kind of where the initial design from the arcade accessibility angle came from. Pick up the game, shoot, score, hit, do all the good, positive, fun things in hockey, and then get a little wacky with things like I borrowed the idea of the brick wall from Wayne Gretzky's 3D Hockey as a power up, players get turned into pigeons, all that kind of stuff, which also
still I was does. Laughing at that was hilarious.
Oh, yeah, there's pigeons, we got beach balls, there's like all I want just every single hockey joke, lingo, anything as possible into the game essentially. But basically that again ties into that sort of accessibility angle where it's a weighted power-up system similar to a Mario Kart style where if you're down by a bunch of goals, your opponent's goalie turns into a pylon and you could shoot in the open net kind of thing to like make the game tighter. Mm-hmm. Just again, back to what I mentioned about Wayne Gretzky's 3D hockey, where they kind of used rubber banding techniques that were kind of built in so that you could just score more goals later on in the game kind of thing. But I loved the back and forth and I love no one ever feeling out of the game and like they could always get back in, even if like they just hit shoot and it happened to go in. Like that's fine because it's a positive feeling, right?
Right. And it makes it more fun for both levels. Yeah.
Exactly.
One-on-one or whatever. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
The other aspect that I thought was really cool was the RPG element, if I understood it correctly, the single player, you know, experience.
Yeah, I haven't. I still got to push that stuff out a bit more. I don't even know why I was holding off on it, but whatever. basically, that was kind of, again, coming from that initial play of Wayne Gretzky's 3D Hockey. And it was just kind of like each game you play, because it was built for an arcade cabinet, right? Mm-hmm. So each game you play is sort of disjointed. They're not really connected together. And initially, I was thinking, okay, I don't want to do an 82-game season because that's pretty boring and really just made for revenue sakes in the real world. So I thought of a tournament, and then I was like, you can go even further with that and really start using all the game design ideas that other video games that are not sports games use to make you care about the party that you're with, the characters you've been upgrading, the relationships you've been building over time, and to make each game feel more meaningful than just like, I chose game 82 on the schedule and I'm playing this game kind of thing. But instead you're having dialogue between teammates. Maybe someone doesn't believe you belong on the team. You prove yourself. Now the captain's got you under their wing, blah, blah, blah. Just trying to grab that back and forth between teammates. And again, that also ties into the whole idea of they're not NHL teams or anything like that. These are all fictional teams. And we want players to have a connection with the characters as opposed to just some random made up jersey, for example.
Nice. And that's all of those things that we just talked about is what really stood out to me when I saw you present them in your Twitter or in this Kickstarter thing. So just those different aspects. It's not just a straight up sports game, or you're not trying to simulate a hockey season. You're wanting people to get together and have fun, either if they're going to play together or if they're going to play on their own single player experience, they're going to have fun doing a video game. So
exactly. It's a video game, right? Yeah. Like I find that was like the big thing that is a lot of the times missing in sports games. Like even at PAX, like I had a booth at PAX, for example, and you choose what genre your game is and they don't even have sports as an option. And it's like, just kind of, there's so many different indicators throughout this whole experience of making this game, spending like a year pitching to publishers, all that different stuff where like, there's the video game industry and then sports games over there. You know what I mean? Like they're their own little thing that people have grown up their entire lives now and haven't played fun sports games that weren't made by two companies. It's just kind of where the industry's kind of gone to kind of thing. And then you guys brought up, for example, NBA Jam, and like NBA Jam helped put video games on the map, in my opinion. Like without NBA Jam and it being such a cultural phenomenon, I don't even know, like in the 80s when it was all crazy and people were burying video games in the desert, like who knows where video games could have been with some of the sports things that happened. And they're just kind of like gone now in a lot of ways, and it's all the indies that are bringing it all back.
And it's cool too to see, like, you bring up the arcade aspect and NBA Jam being there. Then we've seen the arcades die off at one point, but now they've kind of been reborn in other aspects where we're getting those arcade cabinets again, and like Raw Thrills doing a lot of their stuff. So it's really cool to see that come back up. So hopefully, I hope your game brings everybody back up. Hey, yeah, we want some more arcade fun sports games.
The arcade bars too, Like the, I don't know if you guys know those kind of things, but I'm finding those popping up a lot more. And last weekend, actually, I was at a King of 94 tournament, like an NHL 94 hockey tournament, gaming tournament, I guess. It was tons of fun, and it was in Toronto here, and there was our arcade bar and all that. They had cabinets with like NFL Blitz and NBA Showtime and NHL 2-on-2. There's a game called Open Ice. I don't know if you know Open Ice. It's got really cool art style. It was just cool to see all those old arcade cabinets. I love it. There's just something so tactile about it all, right?
That barcade for sure is one way for, you know, all of us who grew up with arcades or missed it, you know, getting back into it because now we're old enough to drink.
Yep.
And we don't have to go to, I don't know if you know of a Dave and Buster's or have one in your area, but there's Dave and Buster's here too, where it is a lot of money going there, but it doesn't seem like it's as much to do that at a barcade because barcade I went to was really cool. You got some drinks, they get handed you a bunch of quarters, and then you got to go play, you know, which is really cool.
Great. And it's everything's themed around it and all that. It's always such a fun experience. I love it.
It is a blast. How would you like to see your game in a barcade?
Oh, big time. Yeah. 100%.
Get it in an arcade cabinet and put it out there.
That'd be 100%. That'd be wicked.
So with your game coming out and you being busy, what do you do to defrag from all of this craziness going on?
So last like month, I haven't done anything to defrag. It's kind of just been go, 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 go. I've been living outside of the city though, like I said, across the street from the lake and all that. And the main thing I try to do is just go for a walk with my dogs and be outside and try to enjoy the chill of the outdoors and nature and stuff like that. Just to just unplug completely.
That's
pretty much the main escape kind of thing.
Or go put on some goalie gear and try to be a goalie.
Yeah. I should not say the word trained. I like tried to get into shape. I was going to shinny once a week kind of thing and building all up to every February I do kind of a guy's hockey weekend and we'll rent a place and we'll rent some ice and we'll all go hang out for the weekend and play hockey. And, nice. Got into the Airbnb this year and twisted my ankle right out the gate.
Oh man. Oh, that sucks.
Such a bummer.
At least you had a nice Airbnb to stay in probably, right?
It was pretty big bummer.
Yeah, that was a bummer, especially for that. You planning that whole time and all that.
The whole time with like a goal of like hanging out with my friends and playing goalie. Yeah, it was.
So you got a lot to make up for coming this coming year, right? So
yeah. Yeah, 100%.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ah, yes, the magnificent Trolley Sour Bright Crawler, also known as Trollicus brightolus. The worm's captivating neon color makes it an easy, gummy prey.
Trolley!
It's a surprisingly sour, invitingly chewy, staggeringly snackable species unlike anything else found on this planet.
Eat me!
Delicious. Visit Trolley.com to shop now.
Trolley, eat me!
How do you feel, or how should I ask this? It's, where do you hope this is? Obviously, you want this to get funded, right? Your Kickstarter and stuff like that. But what are you hoping people get out of this overall? What are you hoping that, you know, if they didn't understand what this is now, hopefully they understand it, or didn't know it then, they know what it is now after listening to you talk about it. But what is it you are hoping that people ultimately get out of this game?
Out of the game, just fun. Just like the best thing is when you're playing four players on the couch, like 2-on-2 with your friends and just having fun. Like that's the best part of it. Obviously the whole RPG element of it. I hope it opens up people's eyes to the potentials of just way more stories to be told in the sports world. Yeah. Like sports are stories. Like that's the whole thing. There's the emotional connection with some of these teams and things like that, but it's all about the stories. And I think like sports movies are amazing. And I think there's so much more that can be told through video games when it comes to sports. But also just that there's so many different directions sports games can go that they're being held back a lot, I find. But just fun is the main thing. That's the whole goal with every single decision in terms of design, has been fun, accessibility, and just ridiculousness kind of thing.
Okay. Awesome. Now I wouldn't do my community justice if I didn't ask this question. And I'm sure you knew it was coming because we are the Nintendo dads. Would you make this game available on the Switch if it, I understand fundings and challenges and all that kind of stuff, but would you, you know, especially if Switch 2 coming out, you know, maybe.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 100%. I've already actually pitched it twice to Nintendo. It wasn't in the state it's in now, but I was rejected both times. But that was a while back still. So I don't know. I haven't tried yet. Again. But yeah, the whole, even the control scheme has been kept in a certain simplistic way, not simplistic, but accessible way so that it will be played well on a single Joy-Con. Just for example, like all the triggers do the same action. They're all boosts, for example, like turbo and boost kind of thing.
Nice.
So you could play that no problem with two Joy-Cons, for example. So that was something that I kept in mind while I was designing it One angle, the simplicity of it in terms of the pickup and play, but the other angle for it to work great on the Switch. And I can't wait to get it on the Switch. Yeah.
All right. We have some Nintendo people listening, so hopefully they'll.
Yeah. 100%.
We have one in particular, like very passionate hockey fan who listens to our, well, is he a passionate hockey fan, Tim, or is he a passionate NHL's 94 fan?
Well, Chris, I think, knows who Chris is. Chris HL on Twitter. You might have seen him, Chris HL 94.
Yeah.
He is one of our one of our big members of our community. And
that's awesome.
He would love it if he could play me, especially because we always talk about being able to play NHL 94 against each other. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I was like, man, it'd be awesome if we could play a game like that on against each other. So we'll definitely be ones. I mean, I'm already backing it regardless of it not right now showing for the Switch, but I'm backing it because I definitely want to show support.
And that's awesome. I really appreciate that. Thank you so much. That's awesome. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
No problem. And
it's like surreal, man. It's all surreal as it just happens. It's just happening. And people are like, this is awesome fun. And I backed it.
Oh, yeah. A lot of our listeners probably don't have Twitter either, or X, whatever you want to call it. So just to let them know that, again, it's on Kickstarter. It's ODR Hockey Heroes. And you can go there and back it. It's available for 29 days to go. Still looking for fully funded, especially me, because I want the game too.
it's in a second day and it's already 40%. So good start.
So you're looking good. It's looking good.
Yeah, good start.
I have no idea. Is that like, I don't know if that's good. Like, I'm losing it over here. It's so hard to know.
From what I've been able to, you know, tell from following Kickstarter, there's usually, you know, a big bump on the first few days. It lulls, and then near the end, it'll bump up again. But then once it gets to that met the goal part, then you have a bunch of people who have just been waiting to know if it'll pass, and then they'll dump. So then it'll spike up even faster.
Yeah. That's been part of the stress, is like from a lot of the research and things like that, you kind of want to build that critical mass ahead of time, hit the launch, hit that 100% funded as soon as possible kind of thing. And then that sends off a bunch of other triggers. But it's like, I'm trying to do this on my own here. So I'm trying to give myself a bit of a break, but it's all still super stressful at all times, you know?
Well, I just want you to know, I just, as we speak, just went and threw my cash on the pile too.
Oh, so thank you, sir.
Hey man, it impresses me. Like, I love the idea of another like arcade style sports game that I could sit down and play. I'm around teenagers a lot. So like being able to do that with them would be great, where I don't have to know the ins and outs of a complicated control system. Like, they want me to play Madden or NBA with them, 2K, and I can't do it. I'm like, you know, they destroy me because I don't know how to do all that. But this looks like something that I would be willing, like, that I want to play. And so, and plus, man, you're passionate about it, and I want to, like, just want to support you. So
I appreciate that. That's wicked. I've been surprised by the angle of, like, parents being like, oh, I could play this with my kids.
Yeah.
And you're like, cool. Yeah, I didn't even think of that. Yeah, 100%. Like, pick up and play, of course. You just in general think across the board. But parents seeing a game that, like, isn't simulation style, learn all these crazy controls, hold L1 and flip the stick and do all this kind of stuff. It's great to see them seeing that and seeing those older school style games that are like, okay, I get it. Like, I'm hitting, I'm shooting, I'm scoring. Pretty straightforward, right?
Yes. Yep. And because you are on the other systems, there are a couple other podcasts that I'm going to try to see if maybe they'll have you on, because they are PlayStation and Xbox podcast. If you got the time, obviously, I'll shoot your name over there. but we got the Game Pass Trackers that's on Twitter too. And then there's Game Pass Trackers. There's XEP, and then there's Xbox Drive.
Awesome.
So those are a lot of ones we talk to and stuff like that. And then there's Mega Dads also. They also do not just Nintendo stuff, but they do PlayStation and Xbox. So I'm sure they'd love to talk to you.
And they're headquartered in Minnesota. So, you know, I don't know if they're hockey fans, but, you know.
They're at least in Minnesota. The hockey fans in Minnesota.
They have hockey in Minnesota.
They love it. I was amazed. Yes. I couldn't believe how much they love it. I went there for a hockey expo during like the boys hockey, high school hockey tournament there. Craziness. It was crazy. These people are nuts. They love hockey.
Nice. It's awesome. Yeah. On the trophy room. That's the PlayStation one. Cool. Gotta get you on awesome. There too. So
yeah, I'd love to talk to them. I mean, even like I'm a solo developer here. So like
right.
I'm sitting in my basement by myself most of the time. So literally just talking to humans is a fun experience. Talking about games and stuff like that is always a really awesome experience for me.
That's half the reason why we do this weekly show. So I can get human contact as well. Because I'm in my basement most of the time.
Yes. 100%. 100%. Yeah, it's been wild. I mean, even over the last like few days, you just don't even know like how anybody does this thing, man. How anybody right. does. It's one thing to make the game and make it work, not break. That's the first thing that was like,
right.
running on your computer. Cool. That's great.
Right.
And the next level is for it to be fun, for it to be not like I got stuck. I can't figure this out, blah, 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 blah. And then now I'm in this realm of like, I need people to know about the game. And right. like, that's this whole other layer of figuring out marketing and finding the right channels for it, the right voices. And so the marketing side has been a whole new lesson for me that I've been trying to learn. Whereas the development, I learned an infinite amount. Like I was working as a game developer before, but you always kind of get this little small look at the little bit of what you're working on.
Yeah.
It's been such an experience to really see the entire project, know every little bit of the architecture and how it's all working together and all that kind of stuff. I've grown as a developer massively after this whole experience, but yeah.
That's awesome to hear.
Yeah.
So I really hope everything turns out successful for you and you be able to work on maybe your next dream project. But outside of that, is there, after the success of this Kickstarter and you're ready to take a break, is there a game you're looking forward to maybe playing?
Like a game that's coming out from someone else?
Like wherever, you know, if you've got a passion for somewhere else. Did you want to get your hands on and have time to mess around with?
Or even a game that came out that you haven't had a chance to play yet.
Everything on Switch, guys. Everything on Switch. Like I've been working full time on this for 4 years now, so I don't have money to spend on anything. I can't even buy games anymore, right? Like everything's going towards this, and I'm dying. I've played the opening world of Mario Odyssey, and I can't wait to play the rest of that game. It's a freaking masterpiece.
There you go. There you go.
I borrowed a friend's Switch and played through the first Breath of the Wild. That was amazing experience, and I can't wait to play the second one. I want to get through the Switch games. I haven't been able to buy that yet. I won't let myself, basically.
There you go. Yep. So maybe that'll be a successful reward for you after everything's out the door.
There's two things. There's a Switch and there's a bottle of Lagavulin I told myself I'd get.
Oh, nice. There you go.
The dads are all
see,
like,
I want to see a picture posted of that. You holding your Switch with a glass of that right next to you.
Yeah. I told myself I can't buy either of those things until I'm finished this project. So, yeah.
Perfect. Well, thanks, Chris, for coming on and being with us and sharing your story of getting this out on the Kickstarter. Is there anything else you want to tell our listeners about yourself and about your game and anything else you have on your mind?
I love making this game. Like I've never had more fun building a project. And like when you're solving problems that are like ragdoll physics of a body flying into hockey boards or like how the goalie makes rebound saves and stuff, like even though I'm banging my head against the wall, it's the most fun experience I've had while working and things like that. So I love that. I don't know where I was going with that, but I just want you guys to
just having fun with it.
Yeah, I'm just having fun with it while also freaking out and trying to figure out how I'm going to support my family and things. But basically just really, really have had this long-term vision for this project, and it's really coming together very, very well. It's tons of fun, which is the key. Like everybody who picks it up, one of the first things people say, especially the kids who have never played an arcade sports game, they're like, oh, this is just fun. And you're like, yeah, it's fun. And they're just like, it's fun. And that's a great experience. I'm definitely going to finish this. It's on a very good path right now. I have a full roadmap to get there. I just need a bit of help from the community to help me get there, basically.
Awesome.
Yeah. And I just want to bring back that whole over-the-top arcade sports world.
Nice. Yeah, we're hoping, we're pulling for you, man. We hope this
works
out.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Everybody check out the Kickstarter. Send me any information or any ideas you guys have. Like, we can get tons of wicked stuff in this game. Can't wait to get it out to you guys. I pushed the demo out on Steam about a week ago, so you guys can play it now if you have Steam. And yeah, looking forward to bringing it on consoles and eventually Switch too.
Sweet.
Thank you guys very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Chris. And you have a good one. And we'll keep an eye out and maybe have you on after a successful launch, too.
Absolutely.
Awesome. I'd love to. Yeah, you guys are great. I'd love to chat again. Thank you very much.
All right. See you later.
Awesome. Have a good night, guys.
Good night.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.